Here.
Rob?
Al? Yeah, there we go.
How are you doing? Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I can truly tell you right now, I am completely overwhelmed. I mean, look it. I got, first of all, market factors. So I'm having to do a lot of client phone calls. Outside of anything, just clients calling in, market factors. Okay?
Yep.
Number two, end of year swaps. Where
yep.
It takes a lot of time. I'm talking to the client. Many times I'm talking to the CPA. You know, it's lengthy. Okay? The third thing is, without Joe, I've had to learn all the other processes myself. The upside to that is I'm getting pretty good at it. Right? That's the upside.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having to go through and learn the systems. Even something as simple as just putting in trades. I didn't do that. I mean, again, not rocket science. You can do it. It just takes a couple times and you're out. But I'm having to go through that. So, you know, it's a lot of, I'm overwhelmed, honestly. You know, putting in nights, et cetera. So, that's where I'm at.
Hi, Rob. It's Marisol. I'm sorry I'm late into the call. I was just in the other office with Joe and a conference call with a client. Come back.
So how are you doing, Marisol? How are you keeping up?
It's good. It's good. I was just, she's doing a lot of things here, trying to, the two of us, form this team, you know, and help each other and everything, and I think it's going well. She's doing pretty good.
I mean, look, right now I'm on track to, by far, have my best revenue month of the year. By far.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to take out my team record. But this time on my own. So
that
part is good. A lot of it is due to a lot of swaps. Cash coming in. I have one large account that I'm onboarding that's a referral from a friend. So, I mean, the business is going okay. The business is going okay. We're charging fees. We're handling the clients. I don't have any clients at this point that are exiting. Because, you know, that's the danger in this type of market. No matter how you tie them down or what they told you to do, they get upset because they've lost money and they leave. So I think that at least right now I've effectively put any fires out that could have existed. You know, actually most of my clients are pretty cool. And that's really where we're at.
Okay, are you keeping up with the folders and the appointments?
Yes.
We actually already have a few clients already set in the calendar. And we have sent a few folders, and we have confirmed what day of the month and the time they would like to have their phone calls.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing is, right now, I mean, look at just the fact that now it's me and Marisol and not Joe. Just that factor. I'm missing basically my right hand man for 10 years. So whatever he was doing, I got to pick that up. That's a whole lot of work in and of itself. Just that. Okay? Then on top of that, you have the down market, and you have December, and there's a lot of stuff. It's not a normal situation right now. It's not normal. The upside of that is that I'm learning things that I guess I should have done before. As simple as putting in some trades, learning the systems, how to generate reports, etc. My teachers are Joe himself and my brother, who is a one-man shop. So that's the upside of that. And then the other upside is that I'm killing it in revenue, really, right now. So that's nice, too.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never worried about you and revenues. I think it's the organization piece and just staying engaged. You know, if you can stay engaged, you're going to have a hell of a big business.
I can tell you that my client engagement is at least double, maybe three times. In other words, yesterday I left here at 7 and I was hoarse. Mm-hmm. I mean, my voice was hoarse. I mean, I was talked out. I was talked out. So, you know, my client engagement is heavy. And as much as possible, trying to line them up for the planning piece and the schedule and everything else. But the first order of business is to walk some of these guys off the ledge, organize their portfolios, do tax swaps, then turn around, input all these transactions, build my new portfolios. You know, that's what I'm into right now.
It's also good that Al has been able to keep me more informed of his calendar. So, yeah, like not that lost anymore. So, we actually meet every day. And if we don't meet directly face-to-face, then we go over to the pendings that we have. He does it on his way to the office, which is still fine. It's still great. As long as I'm not lost, because now it's just him. I can only rely on him now. And so that part,
I'd
say, it's been good for me.
Yeah, we've developed a more formal process. It'll get more formal in 2019 for sure. But it's a much more formal process of her knowing what I'm doing, who I'm talking to, what my schedule is than it was before. Before, it was very informal, and mainly I'd just tell Joe. And then he'd relay whatever he thought to my soul, or keep it to himself, or... Sometimes I didn't relate that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we didn't know.
And I just ran with it. You know, so now it's a much more formal process of that.
So how do you see the situation improving? What takes the air slightly out of the bubble so that we don't have, you know, nervous breakdown or cardiac arrest?
Look, this is what I see, you know, going forward. As of January 2nd, I'm not going to be doing tax swaps. That's done. That's a done deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I hope to have reorganized the portfolios to where I want them to be. That's a goal. As of Friday of next week, my goal is these accounts are where I want them to be in terms of the systems I'm using, the management programs they're in, et cetera. It's where I want them to be. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to learn over and over again how to do an equity or bond order or look for bonds.
Mm-hmm.
I've already learned that. I'm already building portfolios on my own. So I've kind of learned that, the basics of it at least. I rebalance a lot of accounts. I do strategy changes. I'm doing that now more and more by myself. I don't necessarily have to call Joe or my brother or the PM team. By the way, I didn't even know how to call the PM team. I mean, that was something I hadn't done. Again, I just handed that off. Okay? So I don't have to learn that again. That's in the rearview mirror going into January. So there's a lot of things that will be different January 2nd. Than today, a lot of things. And then what I hope to do next year is make the meetings with Marisol and I even more formal, have a real set time for the meetings instead of just sometime in the morning. You know, I look to do that. I look to do that also, and then really get down to prospecting and referral work.
All right, so. Do you have too many clients?
No.
Okay.
I also feel that I can handle 100 clients. I do not have 100.
Okay.
I'm down to like 60.
Okay.
Now, will some of those be exiting later on? You know, maybe. I mean, I'm looking at onboard decent-sized accounts. I mean, I onboarded a small COI today, but somebody who I think will be very effective in referring business to me. He was a rep for the Miami Marlins, and he's very well connected with not only professional baseball players, but also football and basketball players, as well as business people in general. He's young, he's 28 years old, doesn't have a lot of money. We just set up his a rollover in his account, but he will be a very effective COI, I think. Other than that, we're onboarding a guy for $2.5 million. Looks good. And, you know, that's the, and I, again, the whole presentation, this is what I do. It's a whole new presentation that I'm delivering for these new people, right? You know, I'm going really more instead of what's the difference in my portfolio management, it's what's the difference in my service model. That's the route I'm taking. And I go into some things on the market and that too, but mainly the service model. You know, I'm really using my version of your presentation, I guess.
Well, that's great. That's what you should be doing. So how are you handling disgruntled clients at this point?
The way I've learned over 35 years, I really, it's a long form of agree, isolate, overcome. Agree, isolate, overcome. Empathy.
Right.
Go over what's going on. Go over the market. Go over then, let's discuss about long-term planning, investing for the long-term, having your portfolio situated correctly, so that if the market continues to go lower, you're still sitting comfortably, because that's okay. And being here for when the market goes higher. And having a proper allocation between stocks and bonds. That's really it. And not ducking and hiding, for sure.
Right.
One thing that I think that I'm good at, I don't duck and hide. I'll talk to you right now. I'll talk to you on the phone on Saturday. I'll go visit you at your house if you want me to. But I don't hide from
you. Oh, that's good. That's good. I just got done talking to a young guy that, you know, this is his first correction, bear market, whatever you want to call it. And I gave him some ideas that we had going through, as you've gone through, multiple bear markets. You learn to understand them. And the problem is we as human beings are in the middle of the epidemic when it hits, whether it be the epidemic of greed or the epidemic of fear. And it's oftentimes difficult as a financial physician to keep from getting the disease. And so one of the things that I talked to him about is something that Marty Cullen used to teach us called immunization. But I understand what you did. We used to call it feel, felt, found. I understand how you feel. Other people have felt that way before. What they found is this. So yours is, you know, a version of that, which is smart. But that's more of a conversational technique to get people to calm down. One of the hardest things is to get yourself to act in the way that you should, so that you don't, you know, you got to force yourself to not get the disease of fear and greed. Because, you know, once you get it, then everything is out the window. So one of the things that I taught him today was this idea of your financial position, don't get the disease. The disease is coming. There was a guy that once told me a cute story. he was an FA, and he used to have, every time somebody opened up an account, he'd hand them a brick. And they'd say, what's the brick for? And he'd say, well, when you get mad enough that you want to throw this brick through my window because the markets are going down, I want you to attach a check to it. Okay? So the idea is to teach them to do the opposite of the way they feel. So that's the disease of fear. And you immunize them against the disease of fear by taking some action every time they fear, they feel fearful. And so you do the opposite when they're very afraid, and the more afraid they are, the more you buy. And, you know, no one has any cash at the bottom. So where's the cash going to come from? When they have the opposite disease, which is greed, how do you tell that they've got the disease? When they call and say, you know, you've only got given me 7% this year. My friend has got 13%. Okay, I want you to get more aggressive. That's the disease of greed. And when you get the disease of greed, the way you immunize them or the way you handle the disease is you raise cash. Now you can do other things, right? I mean, lots of other things. But the easiest example is raising cash and deploying cash. And when they call, you basically ask them, you know, how bad is it right now? What is your temperature? Is it 104? Your fear is really high? Or is it 98? Or is it 99? And the same thing with their greed. And we never do this. When they call and they're greedy, we tend to want to get them a better rate of return so they won't leave. Both are symptomatic of people wanting to leave because they've got a disease. And the disease is fear and greed. So when they call and say, I'm really disappointed in the rate of return that we have, you say to them, how high is your temperature? Is it 100 or is it 104? Meaning, how pissed off are you that you haven't made enough money? And then how pissed off are you that you've lost too much money? And when the disease is really, when the temperature is really high, you deploy the most money, or you sell the most and raise the most cash. I think it's a great way to position it. And they won't listen to that unless we're in a market like this. In this kind of market, you can educate and train the client to be aware of their emotions and how their emotions really kill the rate of return. You know, the average rate of return is 9% over time. They don't get that because of emotions, these two emotions, fear and greed. So it hurts their rate of return. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty fun way of explaining this whole psychology. And I think over time now, you can dramatically outperform your competition by adhering to that financial position model. The other, of course, is to always go back to the financial plan and do the Monte Carlo simulation to see where they are based on probabilities and see if they will run out of money. I mean, that's what they're always afraid of in bear markets, right? They're always afraid they're going to run out of money. So the question is, you know, you've got you had a 99% probability of not running out of money, you still have a 98% probability of not running out of money. You're fine. Right? In fact,
in order to
outperform, consistently outperform the market, we need to take risk now. We need to increase our asset allocation and equities. So I think, you know, if you're a financial advisor that does that, I think you'll be like one of 4 billion, you know, one of 100, maybe one of 1,000 that ever does that. And that would make you much more attractive over the years. Anyway, I share that with you because I think this is a perfect example of that. We had a very greedy market for a long time. And most people did not do anything about it. They just went from a 60% equity to an 80% equity portfolio because equities went up and they didn't rebalance. They didn't do anything. They just let the clients get more and more greedy.
True.
Which is, you know, it's all human nature. And I think if you can
both those scenarios, and I've had both those scenarios with the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
where I need to make more money, and then now he's panicking.
So. Yeah, no, it's the same guy. It's because he's part of the human race. You don't think you have one guy. You've got all your clients are like that. But some of them are more controlled, but they each have a little bit of that. This guy just probably just verbalizes it more than most.
Right.
But that way, you're always taking some action, you know? If he's not too greedy, then maybe you only raise, you know, 1 or 2 more percent. If he's really feeling greedy, then you raise 5%. If he's really panicking, then you invest 5% more.
Right? Yep.
So it's a simple way to outperform without. We had the guy that was in charge of Merrill Lynch's research and in charge of the former BlackRock, before it was BlackRock, used to tell me that, Rob, performance is 90% asset allocation. And, you know, it's not stock selection. Stock selection is 10%. It's asset allocation. So what's your asset allocation? So I think that's just, I'm kind of on that right now because I don't think, and this is the time to teach that to financial advisors. They don't want to hear it when the market's good. No, when the markets are bad, that's when you educate financial advisors, educate clients, and get everybody to realize that markets go up and down. You know, we get pretty stuck on going up. And we get these. So I think that's a pretty good way of taking some action. The opposite action of what they want to do. This is what you should be doing. Anyway. I would say with 60 clients, you're fine. You just have to get through the organization piece, get your appointments all scheduled, get your folders all done. When you're not doing tax swaps and other things, and the market's calmed down a little bit in the spring, you know, in the new year, then you know, you'll see that 60 clients is very manageable. 70 is harder. 100, I don't think I want you to go to 100. I'd rather have you reassign clients. 70 is the magic number. That's where you have enough time to manage your practice and really grow it. So if you want to grow faster, keep 70 clients. If you don't care about growing, then go to 100. The 100 clients will eat up your day.
Okay.
Yeah. See that? You understand that? It's again, it's just completely counterintuitive. You know, it used to be, you know, you want to grow, more assets, more accounts. Do more. Now, if you want to grow, it's fewer clients that pay you better and pay you more. And listen to
you. Hey, Rob, let me ask you this and see if you advocated or if there are any other guys that are doing something like this. I know that all my clients are A clients, right? However, let's say that I want to have a B client, and the B client would look something like this. I would hand that person off to another financial advisor,
mm-hmm.
and I would go into a split with a financial advisor.
Yep.
Something like 80-20 or 70-30, whatever. It'll be one of those two, okay? They would work the client with 100% enthusiasm because I'm delivering that client. I'm just delivering it right over. They're already in a fee-based account. They're already on the system. They're already set to go. What I will do is I'm on the calendar to call that person once every 3 months and then maybe participate in one review. Do the 4-1, right?
Yeah.
Do you advocate that or have some type of people, some people to do this?
No one's ever done that.
Because let's say I have 70 and I'm boarding a guy. Now I got 71. I want to keep it at 70.
Who are you thinking about? Are you thinking about Joe for this? Or what
is
it?
The first one is Joe.
Yeah.
And then that's Joe's decision. And there's two other guys that just became that face in the office that I'm pretty close to.
Yeah.
Well, one of them is Anthony. Anthony's another one that works with Aiden. And he's building a book. I would go to Joe first and give him the first right of refusal. If he says, no, I'm not really interested, great. I'll go right to Anthony. And there's another guy, George. So Anthony and George are UFAs and give them a shot. I know they'll go for it for sure. Okay? I think Joe will. But that's up to him. And then go into a cut, go into a split, and then at that point, I'm on a 4-1 with that client, giving me more space because a 4-1 is like a quarter of a client or a fifth of a client, right? That's the way you put it?
Yeah, it's actually it's a third of a client.
A third of a client. Okay, so I have a third of a client making space for new people. What do you think about that?
It's not a crazy idea because you're still connected, but a lot of the other work is being done by somebody else. It's leverage, you know? The intimacy that you get from regular phone calls, you're going to lose some of that. It's going to be more mechanical. So I don't like it from that point of view. But, if you guys confer about your conversations and you can see the previous conversation, then I think you can continue the intimacy of having the relationship. It's an interesting experiment. I've heard of guys saying I want to hand this off to another guy and then do a split on it, but I've never heard of anybody wanting to retain conversation with the people that they're getting rid of.
Yeah, it may look like 15 to 30 minute calls a year and maybe one lunch where I do the review.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. And then once in a while I have contact with the advisor to talk about the, that might be a meeting a year or something to talk about the account, but I can view the account.
Well, you need to, if you do this and you do it any size, I would tell you should have a conversation with that advisor every single month for an hour about all the accounts that you've been reassigned.
Okay. That's fair.
Right? Do not talk once a year about the client. That's ridiculous.
I mean, the NASA would be no, because we're going to do that anyways, because we still have clients in Cabo.
Right. So you should have, you know, you should have a serious, maybe it's a two-hour conversation, go through every single client.
Okay.
Every month.
Sure.
Okay. Otherwise, you're going to lose touch and not, you guys are going to screw things up because you just are, you know. I mean, it's so interesting because I have two people managing, you know, my account, right, a team. And one is sort of the relationship manager and the other one is the one that manages the portfolio. And I just had a conversation with the one that's managing the portfolio and he didn't know. Now this is, you know, I coached them too. Think about this, right? I coached them as well as I'm their client. And he didn't know that I was moving to Nashville. Okay? From Indianapolis. So clearly they're not talking about Rob. Other than, you know, a couple of words here and there, right? So that was a bit embarrassing for me as their coach to have him not know I was moving to Nashville. So you don't want to get into that situation.
Okay.
Where you're pretending that you're really on top of things when you don't have a clue what's happening in my life.
I got you. Yeah, so in effect, the goal would be this person, it would be their A client, because all their clients are A clients, but it would be a B client for me on a whole other list. Right? That's kind of the, and then like you said.
Yeah.
I can leverage myself because they would be responsible for everything.
Right.
They do
right.
Everything. Okay? And right. I just call once every quarter to say, hi, how you doing? Go through a few things. And then once a year, we grab lunch or something and do something more detailed.
Yeah, I don't like calling them a B client because I don't want you to have to explain two different levels of service. You're really not delivering two different levels of service, you're just sharing a client. So it's still an A client. It's just, you know, it would be a Joe and Al A client instead of just an Al.
A shared client. I could call it a shared client.
Yeah, a shared A client is what it is.
Gotcha. Okay.
See, because when you go to a CPA or go to any client, you want to explain the investment process, the service process, and you don't want to say, you know, we have an A, B, C model, and you're going to be a C client, so you're going to get a birthday card and one invitation to an event a year. And the guy goes, really? You know, I don't understand. You see, you want to have one level of service that you explain. Multi-generational planning, 1242, and rapid response. Everybody gets those three things, no matter who they are.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, this is an internal leveraging tool for you, which is fine. I think that's great, actually. The fact that he's not on your team is unique, and I would probably only do this because of your relationship with Joe. I wouldn't do it with the other guys yet. Just see how it works with Joe first.
Okay.
Because he gets it. He knows the clients. They're going to like hearing from him because they know him and like him. And, you know, it's like, you know, so it's sort of a neat thing. Okay?
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. It's good question. What other...
Well,
that's a great... That's a good leveraging tool.
Let me tell you, it doesn't have to be an existing client that I'm exiting. It could be I meet somebody terrific on the street. They have $400,000 to invest. It's below my minimum. I don't want it.
Yeah.
So I could go to Joe or to Anthony and say, I have this client.
Different.
Would you like to go into an arrangement with me?
No.
And here's the arrangement.
I don't want you to do that. Okay? I don't want you to do that. That's called greed.
Okay. I have a question about that. So if it's a client that is with Joe, then I'm both with their assistant, so it's okay because I know that. How would it happen if you give that client to
Well, assistant? He's saying not to do it.
Oh. Okay, then never mind the question.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not do that under any circumstances, violate your minimums. Okay? I would give it to him and say, congratulations, I have a client for you that meets your minimum, but not mine. And I would not split it.
Okay.
It's a chance for you to help them and to make sure that they get great service and to maintain your network.
Okay.
You know that Joe's going to give him 12-4-2. He's going to do a good job. But no, that's. I mean, where do you draw the line then? 200,000. You know, that means you're wasting your time.
It depends what his minimum is.
Yeah, but the young guys would take anything, and you're wasting your time opening up a client and working with clients that have no money. I mean, that's just not smart, okay?
Okay.
It's I understand why you think about it, but no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to be exclusive, and I want you to have an exclusive brand. I want you to be generous, and I want you to make sure that when people refer to you, that you find them a good home, and that you do it with good people, and they give them 12-4-2. But I don't want you invested in that time, money, and effort for a $400,000 client. No way. You're too good at this. I want you to be available for the $25 million client, which you can get if you have time. Okay? But that was a really good question. I'm glad you asked it.
Okay.
Because that's a trap. Yeah, that was a trap. Now, existing clients, when you get to 71, you want to give Joe one, great. No problem. Okay? But I don't want you. You could end up opening 5 accounts in a week doing that, the other. Okay? Which would kill you. Okay? So, yeah. Yeah, you want to split some of the smaller ones. And in those splits, I'd only do it for 2 years. There was some down for 2 years when you get to 71 and you want to give one to him, split it for 2 years and then let him have it.
Okay.
Because you're going to be moving on, man. You're moving on.
Okay.
You're moving up. You don't have time. 2 years is just to, make sure you get the next client. It'll keep you humping, too, you don't want to get all these networks of messes that you have to follow up on and keep track of them. Monitor and meet with and all that. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. And compliance-wise, they can go wrong. Things can go wrong. They can buy them an annuity and make clients sue them. When they sue them, they sue you. And you end up going to court going to an arbitration over something stupid that the other guy did. And you end up having to go there, You didn't do anything. You didn't know what's happening. You didn't even know what was happening. You're still stuck in arbitration.
True.
Okay?
Okay.
They're good questions, brother. Those are really good questions. So, try and, as you're doing all this activity, you know, going through fee-based services, doing the tax swaps, add more clients to the system, get them all signed up. Even get them all signed up before the end of the year. I know you've got a million things going on, but it'd be nice to go into January with everybody having an appointment for the new year. All the new clients, all your clients, you know, 60 clients with an appointment for the new year. That would be lovely. That should be a goal.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
You're very welcome. Thanks very well. See you next week. Bye.
We'll talk next week. Take care.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.